First time caller, long time listener.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
When will Tennessee's administration get on their knees and look to me for an answer?
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Make noise. Make more noise to your administration. It is time to rebel. I, God, have your back, Tennessee fans.
This is so uncomfortable.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
God, why are you calling this show?
Because I care. You're good people.
Thank you, God. All these media people keep acting like we're the devil. You know the devil. We're not him.
They're all in Gainesville. Anyway, thanks for the time today. Love the show. Again, longtime listener.
On 1340 WKGN.
John Curry is an atheist.
Hour two kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Pick you up a 12-pack of Truly this weekend and drink something you truly want. Only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar. It's a healthier alternative to beer. Ditch the beer belly bloat. Pick you up a 12-pack of Truly. Hour two headlines, CM McClure, collision course right now.
All right, thanks, John. The good week for Tennessee fans continues with the news of Vanderbilt basketball's loss last night to the Richmond Spiders, 93-92. That begins the Jerry Stackhouse era. Vanderbilt basketball said, well, no, they had one other game, I guess, but says they fought to the wire in an incredible game against Richmond, but they lost 93-92.
Okay.
So that now makes, what does that make? Kentucky lost to Evansville. Conzo lost. Alabama lost to the Penn Quakers. Vanderbilt basketball has lost. Florida lost to Florida State.
And they also didn't look good against Furman. Was it Furman they
Towson.
Played? Towson. Thank you, Cam. They also didn't look good. Was that last night or 2 nights ago?
No, it was last night.
Last night. Okay. Yeah, last night was kind of a blur, just everything that was going on. I got hit in the head like Mason Rudolph.
We all got hit by helmet.
Yeah, maybe the SEC basketball is just going to take a big step back this year.
Maybe so. Maybe that's good news for us. Mason Rudolph's agent is reportedly weighing legal options after last night's melee involving Myles Garrett. Police are not investigating Myles Garrett, though some, as many people on the internet ask them to. But the agent for the Steelers quarterback is not ruling out any legal options in the aftermath. Tim Younger says, I'm gathering all information and no options have been removed from the table, when reached by text message this morning by ESPN. Apparently,
what are they going to do?
Cleveland police said they are not. Cleveland police said they are not investigating Myles Garrett, adding that they had not received a complaint from Rudolph.
And what are we investigating? We saw what happened. There's no investigation. By the way, we didn't talk about it, but that clip we got tagged in from the Pittsburgh, from the Cleveland Browns call-in radio show.
Yeah.
That was all time. Cam, did you see that?
I did not.
It was pretty funny. It was a little too long to put in the system. It was 2 minutes, but it starts out basically with the Cleveland radio host talking about how Pittsburgh's scum and how Pittsburgh's overreacting because they're trying to hide that they got beat by the Browns. And then, like, they halfway through it slowly start watching the video, and then all of a sudden they're just like, oh, this is despicable. Myles Garrett, he's going to be in trouble.
They completely changed their tone.
They're basically like, my bad, sorry, Pittsburgh, like, as they just, like, railed on Pittsburgh for 30 seconds about how they're soft and how they're going to make stuff up and how Mason Rudolph started it and how Mason Rudolph should be the one in trouble. And then eventually they see Myles Garrett just open helmet club him.
I definitely have to go find it.
Yeah, I'll tag you in and I'll go back and see if I can find it. It's good content.
Well, another Browns player or former Browns player was also suspended yesterday. It was Antonio Callaway. He lost his appeal. Hang on.
You really couldn't cough some other time? You had to cough just now?
No, it hit me. It hit me just.
You couldn't just wait and cough some other time?
No, it's a bad one. I got something caught in my throat.
Okay.
You never have that happen?
No, it does. I've had it happen. I was just kidding.
So anyway.
Just a little joke.
Antonio Callaway, he lost his appeal, and he will be suspended for his next 10 games, regular season or postseason, for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy. He's on the drugs again, Antonio Callaway. A source told Adam Schefter today the Browns waived him yesterday. His agent, Malki Kawa, had tweeted that Callaway was facing the ban for taking a tainted CBD supplement. Could it have been marijuana?
Bum, bum, bum.
Not marijuana. Not the grass.
He's going to probably be out of the league for a while. He's not very good, and he can't stay off the weed, and he's just what you thought he was going to be coming out of Florida. Like, you saw the talent, but you just knew that it wasn't going to work out.
Why is it always receivers that get caught with the weed? You ever notice that? Nobody else gets caught with
Randy
weed.
Randy Gregory had a weed problem.
Yeah, it's always wide receivers.
Randy Gregory's a defensive lineman from Nebraska.
For the most part, though, it's always wide receivers.
No, you're just thinking of Callaway and Josh Gordon. That's it. What other receivers have the weed problem?
I mean, you've got Callaway.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Josh Gordon. You've got... You've got other receivers. I mean, none are coming to mind. But I feel like you've got other receivers, too. So anyway, ESPN asked why the team waived him. Josina Anderson, she asked that. And a source said, too many issues. So he's just not worth their time, I guess.
No, he's not good. If he was good, he might be worth the time, but he's not good, and he also has the issues, so he's going to find himself out of the league for a while.
Antonio Brown.
I don't think he has weed problems.
I'm Randy sure Moss got kicked out of Florida State for weed.
There you go, Cam. Randy Moss. Thanks, okay. Cam. I'm sure Antonio Brown smoked weed before, and he's got problems.
I don't know if he has or not. Why are you sure of that?
I just imagine
that
he has.
That seems like you're making a pretty big assumption there. What is it about Antonio Brown that makes you think he smokes weed?
Because I feel like everybody has smoked weed at least once.
At least once in a life? Sure, but you said that's not – kind of act like he smokes weed from time
to time.
I
mean, he's an NFL guy. He's probably been through a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. He's a receiver.
Some guys just do the manly thing and do opioids and get addicted and ruin their life.
Yeah, that's
true. Martavis Bryant.
Many do that, yeah.
Martavis Bryant can't
lay off the weed. Martavis Bryant, another good example.
Can you find some other guys who can't lay off the weed? Because they're
Darren Waller before he switched to tight end.
Who was the – wasn't there a guy that just straight up quit the NFL because he couldn't lay off the weed? That used to play at the Cowboys, or was he with the Cowboys?
I know you're talking about. I can't remember his name though.
He wasn't a wide receiver.
Dez Bryant.
Does Dez Bryant have problems?
Justin
with weed?
Gilbert.
He probably smoked some weed in his day. I imagine he smoked.
Justin
weed.
Gilbert. Who is Justin Gilbert?
He played at Oklahoma State.
He went to the Browns for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, he smoked.
Okay, yeah, cornerback. Yeah.
Corner. That's basically like a receiver.
Oh, okay.
They're always right there. They're always right there beside him.
I gotcha.
They get that contact. They get on the weed too.
Jamal Lewis.
Yeah, the
corner. Was Jamal Lewis in trouble for weed or trafficking cocaine? I feel like he got in trouble for trafficking cocaine.
It says I can't. What in the world? I found some website that put like the all weed team together.
Yeah, another
and it
thing.
Said we can't be sure of what it was. Like,
I was going to say, I thought Jamal Lewis got in trouble for cocaine. I might be wrong on that.
Trafficking, cocaine, another thing most everyone's dabbled in at least once or twice.
I apologize to Jamal Lewis if I wrongly accused him of that, but I feel like did he go to prison for a little bit for trafficking cocaine? Or am I making this up?
Jamal Lewis, he was a great running back.
Ricky Williams, appreciate the tweeter for sending that in. Thank you, Craig.
Did he traffic cocaine?
No, he loved the weed, though.
Yeah, he's a big weed guy. Huge weed guy, Ricky Williams.
What exactly is trafficking cocaine?
I think it's just selling it. Distributing. Drug dealing.
Distributing makes more sense. Trafficking, well, I always
actually,
think you're taking it across the border.
Trafficking, you have to travel from state to state,
yeah,
right?
I think distributing is just like selling, and then trafficking is, when
you're like kind of the. You're moving.
What do they expect you to do if you have customers in another state? I mean, how else
make them come to you?
You can't mail it.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Cocaine. I mean, I guess you could.
There's a bug on your shoulder, by the way.
Yes,
it's probably the one from 2 days ago that he was trying to suffocate. It's back.
No, it's
friends now.
Thank you for letting me know, Cam.
NFL rushing leader Jamal Lewis was indicted Wednesday on federal drug conspiracy charges for allegedly trying to help a childhood friend buy cocaine.
Well, that's not so bad.
Is that it? You're just
everybody wants to help their childhood friends.
You gotta get rid of those childhood friends, man. You still talk to your childhood friends? What do you consider a childhood friend?
Someone you became friends with when you were a child.
So, like, when you say child, you mean is like having a friend in junior high? Is that a childhood friend? High school?
I'd call that, that a child. I'd say junior high is this. It's got to be middle school or junior. Junior high at the latest. I'm gonna call
so ninth. No high school.
I'm gonna call ninth grade the cutoff.
High school friends aren't considered childhood friends.
Ninth grade's the cutoff.
Man, okay. I don't think I talked to any of mine really, Ben.
I don't have any childhood friends remaining.
Zero?
I got some guys I went to junior high with I'm still close with. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're counting junior high, I got some junior high friends I wouldn't say even close with, but I still talk to them. When we see each other, it's cool. But we also went to high school and college together, too. So,
I went to California with childhood friends, two of them. Yeah. But I have others that I still consider friends, but I'm not close to.
Okay. Like I said, I do have some friends from junior high that I'm still friends with, but like I said, we went to college together, so we're also college friends and high school friends.
Man, maybe I have no friends.
Welcome to...
You do live alone with your ferret, so...
Welcome to...
I don't...
That's fair.
Welcome to our
world. Not to cast stones or anything, but...
Yeah. It does seem like after college, your friends just disappear one by one, and that's very sad.
You gotta... Yeah, I mean, I wonder if... I guess, I mean, I had a childhood friend, but I haven't talked to him in the last couple of years. We were still close.
Yeah.
But he was someone that was a little rough around the edges. Then you get rid of your childhood friends. Grow. Find new people.
Some people never get rid of them.
Yeah. I was a troubled child in middle school, so.
I feel like the childhood friend always gets a bad rep. I feel like it's supposed, I feel like we say it like it's a good thing, but usually the childhood friend's probably going to be problematic. Like whenever I see TV shows and movies, the guy from the childhood is always bad. Yeah, like he's like,
he's always strung out on drugs.
He's asking for money. He's doing something like that.
You remember when I loaned you a pencil in third grade?
Yeah, it's time for that payback. I need $3,000 ASAP. Or else I'm gonna get my legs broken. I'm in deep with Rodrigo.
It's like the My Name Is Earl guy.
Yeah, I feel like the childhood friend gets a bad rap. I feel like we glamorize the idea of it, but really that usually you're supposed to grow out.
We glamorize that?
You say, oh, he's just trying to help a childhood friend out. You got to do that, like friends forever, that type of thing. Yeah, we glamorize it.
Most people don't
Look, they're all playing the baseball together in the sandlot. They're going to be friends forever.
Yeah, that is like the ideal thing you see on TV all the time.
Yeah, but in actuality, like the childhood friend usually is a hanger-oner.
Yeah.
Someone that didn't leave the hometown that you feel indebted to because you got out and he didn't.
Man. Then
how do you think it decides which of the group becomes the one that's not the guy? Like, are you talking about how we have friends like that?
Yeah.
Like,
how do you make sure you're not that guy? I think you just got to keep growing and hope you're not that guy. Cody looks a little nervous. Are you that guy?
What's that?
Are you the childhood friend that your friends are like, oh, no. Cody's
absolutely gone. Not. I am absolutely.
When you call your friend from back home, Mo, is he like, oh, yeah, good, Cody?
My buddy Mo from back home?
Yeah, your buddy Mo from back home. Does his wife get excited when you come around?
He doesn't have a wife, first of all.
But his girlfriend. You say he's got a girlfriend,
He's got a girlfriend, yeah. We haven't talked in a while. I mean, it's been...
Sorry, I didn't mean to tie Mo down. I know your buddy Mo from back home can't be tied down and married by now. Sorry.
I haven't talked to my buddy Mo from back home in a while. So I don't know. It's been probably a couple of years.
All right, stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
But you say he just a friend, and you say he just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say
we had to come up with some real sad takeaways from that last conversation. I think, Cam, are you worried that you're that friend?
Yeah.
You're worried?
Yeah, I'm starting to think I'm that friend.
It's okay. There's still time. You're still young. You can pull yourself up.
I got friends that like work for like SpaceX now and like
stuff
like that. I mean, I'm over here just like...
on the best radio show in Knoxville.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're doing
Nobody
that.
Can say that. Nobody else can say that. But
In Tennessee.
In Tennessee.
That's good. Then I go home and just eat pizza rolls in my boxers.
With your pet ferret.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with eating pizza rolls in your boxers?
Some would say you're liberated and free.
Most people
enjoy it, personally.
Don't beat yourself up. You're a thriving young man.
People act like pizza rolls, for one thing, are not suitable food for adults, and I completely disagree.
I'm number one pizza roll fan in the world, probably.
Hold
on. A lot of people do really love them.
I feel like this is an important distinction. Are you Microwave or oven pizza roll guy?
Oven. You got oven.
God, yeah.
But if you really want some really good ones, microwave. You deep fry them too.
Cam
you,
gets
not
it.
That, not
Cam
the,
gets
air,
it.
The air fryer, deep fryer, those things.
Oh,
make
man,
some
yeah.
fire pizza rolls.
Yeah, you get you a deep fry. All that frozen stuff should be deep fried. Like the taquitos mm-hmm. that you know, the box of the taquitos, pizza rolls, like you said, all those appetizers, anything from the frozen food section should be deep fried.
Yeah.
You can do it all in the oven, but you're exactly right about deep frying. You just get you some oil, pour some vegetable oil in it, turn that thing on to about 300 degrees, just drop it in there.
I'm about to go buy me some pizza rolls.
Damn right.
Man.
I know what Cam's doing this weekend.
Mm-mm.
Pizza roll and chill at my place.
Your friends might be in space and stuff, but you're liberated, bro. You're free.
Thanks.
You're just eating those pizza rolls and living the dream. Don't feel bad. Cody? Call your friend from back home, Mo, your buddy Mo from back home, and just tell him you love him.
He knows.
Cam, reach out to your friends. Just be like, hey, I want you to know I love you.
I actually had an old friend
Most of mine are dead. Most of my childhood friends.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I had a actually one reach out to me yesterday. My old he has three first names. His name is John, Tyler, Drew.
Wow.
He reached out to me yesterday to see how I was doing.
Oh, what'd you tell him?
I haven't gotten back to him yet. I need to. I intend to get back to him.
He texted you and you didn't text him back?
I texted him back once, and then he asked to follow up.
What was the follow-up? How are things going?
He said, let me
If you responded once, that's almost – is that worse to not respond back to the second text, or is it worse just to not answer at all?
He said, how's everything been going? I said, pretty good, man. How have you been? He said, oh, getting fat like the rest of the fam, LOL. Still in Knoxville? And I got busy, and I didn't.
Did the fat thing make you not want to respond to him? Was it just the Knoxville? Or
no,
just,
he's just saying, you know.
You don't really like John Tyler Drew? Has he got a problem with him?
No, it's like a thing where everybody's getting older, you know. You kind of gain weight as you get older. He's like, oh, you know, getting fat. LOL. And then he's like.
Relatable.
Yeah, you know, like when Robert Baratheon and Ned Stark meet up for the first time in a long time, he's like, you've gotten fat. And then Ned just looks at him like, look at you. You know, but it's kind of like that. And then he said, still in Knoxville, which I would think he should know. I mean, wouldn't he know if I had left here? I mean, where else would I be?
Oh, he just wanted to have a conversation with you.
I know, and I feel bad. I hadn't gotten back to him
I'm not a fan of small talk. I feel like if he had a point, he should have gotten to it a little quicker.
Well, no, I don't think he had a point. He really just wanted to see how I'm doing, and I need to get back to him. But I got busy last night. I haven't gotten back to him yet. But you know how I am with texts. I mean, I typically use the 24-hour rule. You know, I get back to you eventually, but I don't know. I have this thing where if I get a text and I see it, I'm like, I'm not replying to that yet. It doesn't matter what it is. It does not matter what it is. It could be urgent from a family member. I'm like, I'm going to give that about 10 minutes and look back at it. I don't know why. It's just maybe it's just me being a procrastinator.
Mm-hmm.
I get a text. I'm like, I'll reply to that at some point. I don't know why. It's just who I am. So,
moral of the story, check on your friends.
Check on your friends.
Check on your friends.
Especially the ones you've had since you were a kid.
Make sure they're walking the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
He just texted you again? Was he listening?
No. I doubt he's listening.
Tomorrow, UW versus the Vols. It's a chance for a quality win. Washington is... When you look at Tennessee so far, do you think Tennessee is going to struggle against... What do you think Tennessee's biggest weakness is, I guess would be my question.
Post play.
So post play. Well, I more so just meant offense or defense. Do you think Tennessee's going to struggle stopping teams or struggle scoring the ball?
Defense.
Or both?
Defense.
So you think Tennessee's struggling to stop teams is the bigger threat?
Yes, but that's easier to correct.
Okay, so you're right now you're worried about Tennessee's defense. Cam? Just through two games. I mean, I know it's not a big sample, but.
I was going to say defense because that Murray State first half, they were just lighting them up from the three-point line. But, I mean, they really clamped down in the second half. So, I think, like, the potential's there for sure.
Well, you both said defense. You're worried most about Tennessee's defense. So, I'm here to say the good news is Washington has an abysmal offense.
Sweet.
Washington's offense is no good. They're not very good at all. They get bogged down. They score less than 0.9 points per possession, which is bad. They're a little bit below the middle of the pack. Or I guess they're a little bit above the middle of the pack when it comes to shooting. 137th. I think there's like, what, 300 teams?
Wow, their point per game is very low.
Yeah, like they play pretty slow and they don't score a lot of points.
And they don't rebound a lot, Cody.
Well, that's good.
Tied 281st. That's good news,
because we don't either. So
if you're worried about Tennessee's defense, I think you're going to like this matchup. I think Tennessee should be able to keep pace with Washington. It's not like you're going to be playing a run-and-gun style where if you don't think Tennessee can stop somebody, you're going to be left in the dust. That's not what's going to happen here. Does that make you feel better?
Yeah, I feel a little bit better now. I mean, I didn't feel not good anyway. I mean, I felt like we got a chance to win the game. That's a good thing about just having a program and having Rick Barnes.
Uh-huh.
I always feel like we got a chance to win the game.
Okay.
Even if we're not – even if on paper it looks like we're not as good or, you know, a team's got a distinct advantage over us, I trust my coach to scheme something up.
Now, Tennessee is going to have to stop a really good player. They do have a likely lottery pick.
Oh, God. Is he a guard?
Jaden McDaniels, yeah.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Isaiah Stewart's been pretty good for him this year.
Yeah, they got two good guys. Yeah, McDaniels was a top 10 recruit. He's projected around the lottery. Kind of like what we thought Josiah Jordan James was. Hey, so, I mean, like, they have one of those guys.
I do worry about defending.
When I say guard, he's a little bit slender, but he's 6'9", so, I mean, he's got a big body. Yeah. Or he's got a tall body. He's going to be able to get a shot off. I would imagine they're going to run a gun. He's too big for Lamonte to guard. Maybe they'll run, try Pons' luck for a little bit, try Bowden's luck for a little bit, Jalen Johnson, maybe throw different bodies at him. I don't know.
Good thing is he's only shooting 36.8% from the field so far this season.
Yeah. No, he struggled a little bit, like I said, but not as bad as, you know, Josiah Jordan James has. But he's a guy who has a lot of talent, so hopefully Tennessee can not let him get hot and get on track. So Washington doesn't score a lot of points. They commit a lot of turnovers. So if Tennessee can score points, it's going to be hard for Washington to keep up. The question is, can Tennessee score points? Right?
Well, yeah, that's part of the question. And I think I'm more worried about whether we can defend. I mean, I know we got to score points, but I mean, it's just obviously with every game. But I think especially you tell me they got a good guard who's a lottery pick. That's something we've struggled with in the Barnes era, is defending a big-time guard. So I'm worried about that.
If you're looking for the other end of the court and Tennessee scoring points, Tennessee's going to have to do it against the zone defense.
I like that.
Washington has a Jim Boeheim disciple.
I like that. We'll penetrate that. I feel like you got to be really, really good at the zone for it to work.
I don't know. Washington was 18th in the country last year in defense, so they are really good at the zone. Like I said, they have a Jim Boeheim disciple, and Boeheim gets the credit for being the best at the zone. So Washington runs a pretty successful one.
Notre Dame tried to run a zone the other night on the Lady Vols, and we penetrated that.
Okay.
Easily.
Okay.
So maybe we should kind of look at what they did, you know, against
Notre Dame.
Well, I
mean, the easiest way to beat the zone is you put somebody at the free throw line and you get into the free throw line and you hit turnaround jumpers, or you can have a big man who can drive and either finish or kick it over to somebody who's cutting in.
And you need guys that can pass well.
Yeah, I don't know if Tennessee has that guy you can put in the middle of this zone is my issue. Like, if you put John Fulkerson at the free throw line, what are you going to do with that? Now, John Fulkerson's good at moving the ball. I do like John Fulkerson in the sense that if he gets the ball, he usually quickly knows where he's going to make his pass. I do think he's good at moving the ball. And against the zone, sometimes you just got to beat it side to side. Into the middle, get it shifting, and you throw it to the other side. You skip it or
sometimes you swing it.
You
got to be able to pass out of it. You know?
Sure.
And that's key, and I think we'll be able to attack the zone through our pass.
I think this week we are going to be really – we're going to find out, or at least we're going to have to hope that – Pons and his little shooting stroke is real. Because Pons might be the guy in the middle there. We might have to rely on Pons' 15-foot jumpers.
I trust his athleticism. I don't know if I trust his shooting, though.
Do we trust Ponce's basketball IQ yet? I don't know if I do.
Working on it. Probably not entirely.
Like, as a playmaker, if you're putting him in the middle of the zone and he's having to make the passes, I don't know if I really trust him to do that. Like, so I am worried about Tennessee in that sense, that who are you going to put in the middle of the zone to kind of try to bust it up from the middle? Is it Josiah Jordan James, maybe? Is this his coming out party? Because he's got the body to get in there, and you hope that he can be the playmaker, and you hope he can consistently knock down 15-foot jumpers. Maybe he's going to be the guy that has to do it. Because otherwise, like I said, Fulkerson, don't have confidence in him. Pines, don't have confidence in him. Don't have confidence in Jalen Johnson. Don't have confidence in any of the other guys off the bench. Watching how Tennessee navigates Washington's zone defense, which ranked number one in opponents' point per possession in the zone last year. They were really good at it.
That's pretty high-level stuff.
But they did have a guy, look, like this lottery pick they have here, this McDaniels guy, isn't, you know, the same type of defender. They lost one of the best defenders in the league, in the country last year. He got drafted in the first round basically because of his defense. He can't play any offense. That Thibel?
Yeah.
Matisse Thibel? He's gone. It's like their defense isn't going to be as good.
You hope for some freshman mistakes from those freshmen that got in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially this early in the season.
I say we just beat them down the floor.
That's it, right? I mean, like, the thing about the zone defense is that it's, you know, the cliche is that you can't get in your zone defense if you don't make shots. Like, you don't have time to get back. So, if Tennessee's defense can force the turnovers that Washington struggles with and force missed shots, I would imagine that Barnes is going to want to get out and run and push it. Like a
little transition basketball.
If I'm Rick Barnes, I'm saying, boys, we get the ball, we run. We get out, we go.
And that's the most fun kind of basketball to watch.
And Tennessee's implemented some press so far this year. I think they're looking, saying, hey, we got some bodies. We got some guys, you know, so at least early in the season, that we're going to try to get 8-9 guys in the game, and our strength are our guards, and let's try to get out, pressure the ball, and try to speed up these possessions. I hate watching zone defense.
I like watching it if it gets penetrated. That's probably one of my favorite things to see, actually, is a zone defense that just isn't working. I think that's exciting basketball, just seeing guys getting open shots,
okay,
knocking them down. But if the zone does work, I agree, it's not really very fun to watch. But, you know, our guys play hard. They run hard, they play hard, they're coached hard. I know those are all old cliches, but that's what a Barnes team does. I don't expect them to just be able to lock us down.
Okay. I get worried. I don't know if I trust the shooting on this team yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little concerning. But
like I said, Washington doesn't score a lot of points, so maybe this is going to be a really low-scoring game if Tennessee can't get out and run. I do wonder, like, you know, Ballin's going to have to shoot well. We're going to see Lamonte kind of break out of his slump. Ballin's going to have to hit some shots because I don't trust the other guys to shoot. Like, Ponce has been good from three so far. I'm not buying it yet. He's going to have to do it more than two games for me to buy in.
Same with Bowden. I mean, Bowden's coming off a big game, but can he do that night in and night out?
Well, I don't think he can do the 26 points and hit six threes. I don't think he can do that night in, night out. I don't think he has to, but he needs to be a 20 points per game scorer. He needs to, especially this game, help spread out this zone. He needs to shoot well from deep. Hopefully Tennessee is able to get out and run and hit shots, because this Wisconsin, this Washington team is going to try to grind you out on the clock in the zone defense, force 25, 30-second possessions.
It's a good test. I mean, this is probably a second-round kind of matchup. I mean, the quality of this team, this is probably a round of 32 type game.
The one good thing is that I don't know if Tennessee's strength is going to line up with this weakness that Washington has, but with any zone defense team, you get beat on rebounds. So Tennessee is going to have to really rebound well.
Yeah.
So, like, if Pons ain't hitting threes, he needs to be skying and grabbing boards. Fulkerson, I don't really want to see him get in foul trouble this game. He's going to have to be getting rebounds. Crash the boards.
That's just effort basketball.
This is a good test, though. I'm glad this team is on the schedule, because there's not really a really good zone team on Tennessee's schedule usually. And that's a team that you might run into in the tournament, right?
Yeah, yeah. You absolutely want to see one during the regular season so you kind of know how your team reacts to it and responds for sure.
Now, you play zone. You play against zone teams when you play smaller schools and stuff, but they don't have the type of athletes that Washington will have with it. So it'll be good for Tennessee to get tested. We'll see how they handle it. Anything else you want to say about this game?
Nope. Just excited to watch it on the ESPN Plus app.
Yep. ESPN's pretty confident in Tennessee. They got us as a 73.2% chance of winning.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been waiting to see the point spread come out.
Yeah, I haven't seen one yet either.
I think the analytics have this as just a toss-up. I think the analytics have Washington as a favorite by 0.5, which means toss-up. Still waiting for the spread to come out, though, officially to set the line. It hasn't happened yet. All right, we'll shift gears. We'll power rank the college football games of the weekend. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Power lies on their side. Aye, 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 aye.
Go, go, power. Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. I need more than power. Rankings. Rankings.
All right, Cody. What week are we on right now? Is it week 12, week 13?
I don't know.
12?
12.
Week 12, college football power rankings. I think we got a pretty good weekend of college football. I'll give it an 8 out of 10. No real ginormous, gigantic matchup like last week, but I do think he got some nice depth. Hit me with your top five games of the weekend, please.
Number five for me, I'm going with Texas at Iowa State. This is an Iowa State team that had a very good chance to beat Oklahoma. Texas is on a skid. Can Texas come off the skid? Will the pressure continue to increase for Tom Herman? Tune in and find out as the Longhorns take on the Cyclones. Number four, I go Navy at Notre Dame. This is a ranked matchup. This is always one of my kind of low-key favorite games of the year. Navy always gives Notre Dame everything they can handle, and I expect this year to be no different. This is a good Navy team. I've got it in my number four spot, ranked matchup. Number three, I go with Minnesota at Iowa. Typically, that would sound like a disgusting game, but Minnesota coming off a huge, huge program win. Can they bounce back? They got to go to Iowa. They got to go into Iowa and play a ranked Iowa team. This is a tough bounce-back game for Minnesota after beating Penn State. Can they do it again?
Yeah, I was favored in this game.
Yeah.
I was 3-point favorites in this game. So people are – that's a system play usually when the lower-ranked team is ranked at home. Usually that means take that team.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on this game.
Minnesota coming off of obviously an emotional win. I don't know, man. I keep wanting to write this Minnesota team off, but every time I watch them, I'm like, they do really good things. They yeah. Roll the boat.
How
they have letdown games? Can PJ Fleck have a letdown game? I feel like he's so inspirational, like he's going to have these boys ready to go.
We'll see. That's part of the intrigue in this game because Iowa is a very capable team, and they're going to have a huge home crowd, I'm sure, for this game. So we'll see. I'd like to point out, I think this is probably the first time I've ever had two games in my top five that are taking place in the state of Iowa. Is this the biggest home slate for the state of Iowa ever?
I'm going to guess not, but
probably not.
Yeah.
That Iowa State team last week, they barely beat Oklahoma. Or they were in a tight game with Oklahoma.
Okay.
The ferret is awake. What's their name, Cam?
Mila.
Mila. I always forget. I want to say Luna. That's your cat's name.
Mm-hmm.
So Mila?
Intern Mila. Show her some respect, please. She has a title.
Number two, I'm going with Oklahoma at Baylor. This is a top 13 matchup, and it's at Baylor. I like Oklahoma in this game. I don't really think undefeated Baylor is as good as some believe them to be. I expect Oklahoma to go into Baylor and are going to Waco and win the game. But this is a big game. It's a night game. Probably the best game we got in the 7:30 window of the night game. So, number one, Georgia at Auburn. You know I prefer the SEC matchups. This is a very good SEC matchup. I think Auburn wins.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I'm going with Auburn.
Why?
I think that their D-line will be a problem for Jake Fromm.
Do you think Auburn can score enough points? Because where I'm at right now is yes. I don't think Auburn's going to be able to score enough points.
I think they can. I don't think Georgia's going to score a lot of points. Georgia hasn't really been putting up a lot of points. 27 against Missouri, 21 against Kentucky, which that was kind of a fluky game. That was a bad weather game. You know, the South Carolina game comes to mind. I think that Auburn's got plenty for Georgia. I don't think they're going to need to score a lot of points.
The ESPN Football Power Ranking Index has Auburn winning 52.6% of the time.
I like it. You think Georgia's going to rack up a bunch of points? I mean, Auburn had held that LSU offense down to 23.
Yeah, they did, but they couldn't score enough points to win. I mean, I scored 20, but it was 23-13, and then Auburn scored a touchdown with a minute left to make it look a little bit more respectable. They scored 13 points, and Georgia's defense better than LSU's defense.
Yeah, but I don't think Georgia's offense has got anything close to LSU's.
This
is probably a low-scoring game. You probably take the under on this game, honestly.
The over-under is 41. You taking the under on that?
I don't know if I'd take that under. Low. That's very low. Might take the over on that. But it'll be somewhere in the 20s. It'll be, right? I mean, it could be, I don't know, it could be 20-17 or something like that. I'm giving Auburn the edge.
It does blow my mind, but Fromm's three interceptions this year all came against South Carolina.
Yeah. So he hasn't thrown any others?
No, just three. No.
I don't think either one of these teams are as good. They're obviously good. Let me rephrase that. I don't think either Georgia or Auburn are great by any means. I do feel like Georgia's better, though. Auburn's going to play right into the playoff. Like, you know, into the playoff race between Georgia
and Bama.
And Bama and what they did to Oregon. Like, all that's going to matter.
Yeah, it is. And Alabama definitely needs them to win this game. That's got to suck for Alabama to have to pull for Auburn.
My top five college football games of the weekend. Number five for me, Appalachian State going on the road to Georgia State. I'm going to check in on Georgia State and see what they're up to. What are you making that face for?
Nobody's going to watch that.
Watch this than, what was it, Iowa State versus who?
Texas.
Yeah, why would I want to watch that?
Because those teams matter more.
To whom?
Everyone that watches football.
Not me. Georgia State. I want to see what they look like. Georgia State beat us. We haven't even played.
Who cares?
I don't want to watch Iowa State.
I never want to see that team play again.
I want to see what they're made of.
I don't.
App State.
I haven't even checked in on them.
Headed to Georgia State. I want to watch it.
They're 6-3, if you're wondering.
Bowl eligible.
They've lost three games. Yeah, I was hoping they were undefeated.
Michigan, Texas State, and Louisiana Monroe.
Oh, God.
Is it going to be number four? Can they beat App State? Tune in and find out. That's my number five game of the weekend. Number four, Wisconsin at Nebraska. I want to check in on Scott Frost. They had the article written about them last week, or earlier this week, on whether or not Nebraska football was too far gone. Is it dead? How do they respond? Nebraska needs to rally to make a bowl game. Can they get a little magic at home against Wisconsin?
That one was close to making my list.
It made my list at number four. Number three, Minnesota at Iowa. Minnesota at Iowa. I want to watch that game. Self-explanatory. Minnesota, sort of kind of a dark horse for the playoff. We'll see if they can win out. I don't think they can. I want to just see how they bounce back. I like watching PJ Flex teams play. I know we all want to make fun of him and call him a cornball, but I kind of like watching his teams play.
I don't make fun of him.
You don't?
No. So you're leaving Navy and Notre Dame off?
Everyone likes Fleck now? Were people not out on Fleck?
People used to say he's a Butch Jones or something. Butch Jones 2.0, I don't know. I never really cared. I got no problem with him.
I never got out the boat.
You stayed in. You kept rowing.
Yeah.
If you don't row the boat, it sinks or something like that. So you got to keep rowing the boat. Keep rowing. Do you think P.J. Fleck wins this weekend? Usually these college teams can't go on the road after a big home win and win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. Yeah, I don't think they have any shot really of winning out. They just.
But I feel like Iowa's the type of boring team that
just beat it. Yeah,
it's not like they're going to come out and boat race you. So like maybe it's one of those things that you come out flat, or you might come out flat, but then you realize, hey, we can win this game type of thing. Hey, we're only down 6 points. We can still win this thing. Kind of like the Baylor TCU game from last week. Like TCU dominated that first half and then still found themselves up like 9-3.
Yeah.
And then Baylor's like, okay, guys, we're undefeated. I know we came out a little flat, but we can still salvage this thing. Then they rallied back and won.
Yeah, you don't want Fleck to get a good halftime speech in there.
Yeah, keep them close at half. I imagine Iowa's going to be up at halftime in this game, but then PJ Fleck goes back to the locker room and tells the boys, look around you. These are your brothers. Do you want this season to be magical or not? Like, you got to dig down deep and go out and die for these guys. Something along those lines. Maybe a little bit better than that. But PJ Fleck, I think, can push the right button. So I do think Iowa will be up at halftime, and then Minnesota will be trying to make a charge late. That's the way I see that game playing out. Number two for me, I'm going Oklahoma at Baylor. I don't know if Baylor's actually good or if they just keep winning. But I do think they'll have a good home atmosphere. And I want to see how Jalen Hurts responds to the road atmosphere. I know he shouldn't be bothered by it. He played in SEC stadiums. He's played in big games. Can Oklahoma – I feel like Oklahoma's going to have to start making statements. I feel like Lincoln Riley's going to have to try to start running the score up on some of these people, remind people just how good and dominant Oklahoma is. If Oklahoma can go in and beat Baylor down, I think that would go a long way for them. Agree or disagree? Do they need style points? Is it too late for Oklahoma? Or can like a dominant – they're favored by 10.5. They come in and win by 24 points or so. Is that enough to catch the committee's eyes and start moving them up the rankings a bit?
Yeah, it's probably enough to move them up past Utah and Oregon maybe. Get them right there on the doorstep.
Okay.
But I don't know if they get that high. I think they get that high, up to like 6.
I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't be with one loss.
Oklahoma versus Baylor would be a fun game. And I think everyone would pick Oklahoma in that game, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they would if they were to get a dominant win over Baylor, I think they should move up to right there where, you know, Georgia, Bama, Oregon are.
Where do we rate this in terms of good wins, potentially? Because, I mean, Oregon's best win so far is beating Washington. Alabama's best win is beating Texas A&M. Baylor's ranked 13th, but going on the road to beat them, do you consider that a better win than both those games? I mean,
it's better than Oregon's win. And
it better than beating A&M?
Yes, it's better than Bama's win.
Okay.
I would say it's better than those two.
Okay.
It's not better than Georgia beating Florida.
No, I don't think so either. And even the rankings don't think so there either. Like, but Florida's ranked ahead of Baylor.
But if Georgia loses to Auburn, it would probably – I mean, I would think it should propel them ahead of Oregon, personally.
I don't think Baylor's very good at all.
I don't either. That's why I'm like –
by Rice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're ranked 13th, so this is like a pretty good situation for Oklahoma to be in. Like, hey – we're going on the road to play a top 15 team, but I don't feel like they're actually a top 15 team.
It's a pseudo good win.
Yeah, like it's going to look like it, but like we all realize, like, hey, Baylor's just kind of undefeated. They're not actually a top 15 team.
I don't think honestly they're that good, but I think it'll look good.
Yeah.
For Oklahoma.
Yeah. It's all about perception. It's not about reality. Like,
I think it's a better win than Washington. And it's a better win than anything Utah's got.
I think Washington would beat Baylor if they played.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't say that with a lot of confidence, but I think Washington will win that game.
Be a good bowl game. Maybe we can watch that in the Camping World Bowl or something.
Yeah.
Or one of those, you know, Alamo, sure. Alamo Bowl. I don't know.
Yeah. Oklahoma's in a good spot here where they could try to maybe run up the score and win some favor back with the committee. Number one, no surprise, game of the weekend, Georgia, Auburn. Georgia pretty much already has the East wrapped up, right? They've only got one SEC loss and the head-to-head over Florida, so they can even afford a win here. Now, obviously, Georgia's somehow still talking about making the playoff, which I thought was going to be tough for them to do after losing to South Carolina, yet here they are, still
They're
winning out.
Not making it.
I mean, they can still win out and make it. I mean,
they control their own destiny. Like, if they won the SEC, they would make it, but mm-hmm. I just, there's no way.
I don't think they're winning the SEC.
I would not think so.
Looking around the rest of the games, any potential for a letdown for LSU?
Against Ole Miss?
Yeah, is there a chance?
Absolutely not.
Not even that that's even somewhat of a game?
Not even in the realm of possibilities. Although, who was it Ole Miss played tough a couple weeks ago?
They played Bama sort of tough for a half.
They played somebody decent, really close, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Who was it? Oh, Auburn. Auburn. They played Auburn close.
Yeah, and that's when the Auburn guy was mad that the fans didn't show up.
Yeah, that was like a 20-14 game, I think.
So no chance that LSU finds themselves in a game in the second half?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. But that is a rivalry. I mean, that's one of those old-fashioned hate kind of games.
And everything we said about Minnesota, I feel like we have to say about LSU, too. It's tough to win a big game and then turn around and win another one. As tough as it is for Minnesota to win at home and then go on the road, I would say it's tougher for LSU to go back-to-back on the road, right?
Yeah, and going in and winning in Tuscaloosa is like the – I mean, that's –
They partied all week.
That's a big accomplishment.
They partied all week. They have acted like they have arrived. I think LSU wins. They're 21.5-point favorites. I'm not saying that they're on upset alert, but I do wonder if they find themselves in a game in the third quarter. Is there any type of feelings about Oxford at night? Do they play tough?
I wouldn't think so. I think the feelings there are more like they like to party during the day.
They get to party longer, I guess.
Maybe they'll be loud and rowdy. I don't think
Ole Miss fans sell out.
They don't show up.
I would imagine LSU fans are gonna. I'd imagine LSU fans are soaking in this season, and they're going to be well represented in Oxford.
And I don't imagine Ole Miss fans as loud and rowdy. You know what I mean? They're more of a country club type crowd.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's very, very old South with the Ole Miss tailgates. They're not rowdy like LSU. LSU is going to go in there and beat them up. They might not beat them up. Coming off the Bama game, it'll be tough, but
pretty solid full day of college football, though. Like I said, I give it an 8 out of 10. You agree? You go higher or lower?
I'd give it a 7.9.
So a little bit lower?
0.1 point lower than you.
Your price is right in me.
Pretty much. That's what I was
going for.
Actually,
no, you did the opposite. Because if it's above an 8, I win.
Right.
If it's below a 7.9, we both lose.
But if it's 7.95, I win.
Why do you win at 7.95? Because I went over?
Because I'm lower.
Yeah, and I went over.
So I kind of priced it right. But
not really.
But why would it be 7.95?
Yeah, you should have went with an 8.1. That would be truly prices riding me.
But then you would have won if it's like an 8.07. I don't know who's going to decide. I like your Elton John shirt, by the way.
Thanks. I'm a huge fan. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.